Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, this is Tristan Riddell.
And the girl.
And you're listening to Nerd Nuptial. This is episode 3, and I hate to break it to you guys. I don't know, you might be peering into our marriage a little bit more, at least how much we enjoy podcasting. We are recording episode 3 an hour after we just finished recording episode 2, because we have so much stuff going on right now.
Yeah, and I'll admit it, I asked if we could podcast about this stuff, so
I love that you have the podcasting bug. I think it's fantastic because I've been podcasting since I think before we were married.
Oh, I think it was right around that time.
Right around that time, mm-hmm. So around 2011, mm-hmm. And it's 2016 now. So I've been podcasting for about 5 years. This is the first time that you've kind of become a part of my world, and now you're just like, let's do it some more.
Well, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of TV shows that we need to talk about.
And that's one thing that we don't really talk about on the Senate floor too terribly much is TV. Matt's not a big TV watcher. He's too busy with having a quote-unquote life or whatever whatever other people have. One of our as we talked about in the first episode, one of our favorite shows of all time is Breaking Bad.
Yes.
We talked about that at length, about just how great it is. And because I personally believe that Breaking Bad is one of the top shows in the past 25 years, if not the best show in the past 25
years. Yeah, it's definitely, I would say, probably my favorite show.
Yeah.
That and House of Cards.
At least in drama. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, in the drama realm.
Like, sure, there's greater comedies and sitcoms and sci-fi shows. And
different category.
Different category, absolutely. And there's a spinoff of Better Call Saul. That's something that we're going to talk about today. If you haven't seen Better Call Saul, you should, because we've been enjoying it.
Yeah.
And Better Call Saul is a spinoff of Breaking Bad, and it's starring the lawyer, Saul Goodman, when he was better known as Jimmy in the past.
McGill.
Jimmy McGill. And it's about kind of his rise and fall to where we see him in Breaking Bad. So it's a prequel spinoff. But before we get into that, something else happened this week. In the realm, yes, of television, in the realm of AMC, which we have established as our favorite network.
I'm so excited.
Walking Dead. Now, yes. I know that there are some people who like Walking Dead. A lot of people like Walking Dead, and some people who don't necessarily like it. But guys, we have to talk about it, even if you don't like Walking Dead. You and I have to talk about this because...
Spoiler alert, though.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, there's going to be some spoilers on that. So don't listen to this if you haven't seen the latest episode of Walking Dead. That's episode 10. We see the aftermath of episode 9, which was the mid-season premiere. And, the crap just hit the fan in the mid-season premiere. We talked about it on the show. I think it's a great episode. They did a lot of jobs. So listen to that and listen to episode 1. You'll hear us talk about that. But in this next one, it was much more toned down. You know, mm-hmm. Like that's kind of the Walking Dead's formula, where
right.
They have crazy stuff that happens and then a very mellow episode. So we have Rick and Daryl go on a run. You know, they're in a car, and they're going and trying to find supplies. And this guy named Jesus, who's from the comics, is clean. You know, he's put together, and he steals a truck full of food from them. And so that's that storyline going back and forth. And then there's a whole bunch of other storylines coming back that don't really matter. But anyway, we're saying all of this just to get to the point.
We found that Carl's okay. And
Carl's okay. You know, it's like two, I think it's two weeks afterwards and everything like that. But, you know, like, everybody has a hell of a day. And really, we're rushing through this episode just so we can talk about the ending of the episode. It's where Rick and Michonne are sharing a house. Like, they're not, quote unquote, living together, but they're sharing a house. You know what I mean?
Like, right. Like, she must have a room in their house.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Because they wanted to stay together because they feel like it's
and
safer.
And as soon as that episode started, I was just like...
I forgot about the opening.
Yeah, the opening was like, she was in her bathrobe and Carl's like in the hallway and they're all talking and you're just on the floor playing. It's like very like perfect family.
Yeah.
And you and I forever have wanted Michonne and Rick to have babies.
pretty much since Lori's death.
Yes.
And their introduction of Michonne.
You know, the moment that I wanted them to get together was when Michonne and Carl had that candy bar moment.
When
she helped him get the picture of his mom mm-hmm. from the little diner or little restaurant or whatever it was. That moment, ever since that moment, I have wanted them to be together. I've wanted Michonne to be Carl's mom.
I think you bring up a good point, because that's a main catalyst for the relationship with Rick and Michonne, is Michonne's relationship with Carl.
Yeah.
It's very maternal.
It's attractive.
It's very attractive. And we see the reverse of that a lot in sitcoms and in popular culture, where like, oh, you know, like the woman is attracted to the guy because he's good with kids.
Right.
But we don't really see the opposite of that like we see in Walking Dead. And I feel like Rick sees that. And also, Michonne is incredibly attractive and
yeah, and she's protected them, and like, I mean, she's the reason why they're alive,
yeah,
and vice versa, and yeah, so they protect each other, and they've even called each other family, and mm-hmm. you know, it's just
it's a beautiful thing. And so yeah, we've been screaming that for years, literally years, that they need to get together and have babies. And at the end of...
Well, hold on, though. But before that, they kind of very much established that they're friends in the house. Yeah. Because I'm like, wait, is this happening? And then they do that whole, like, friend, like, give a high five,
they
like,
give, a low five.
And I'm like, oh, they're just messing with our heads that mm-hmm. they would be living in the same house and together and whatnot.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she's in a bathrobe with like her hair wrapped up in a towel and everything like that. And you're like, whoa, did she stay over? Like stay the night? But yeah, it was
pretty
definitely the producer
that,
screwing with us. Yeah. And then at the end, they revealed, because this, like, I thought this was going to be an episode. Like, I thought when they introduced it, it was going to be like, oh, they've been together for a while and we're just now seeing it for the first time. No, we see the first time they get together.
Yeah.
There's that moment of discovery, because they're on the couch, they're exhausted, and he hands her some mints and puts his hand in hers. And it's that classic moment.
Yeah. And I think it's a kind of, it was very real in my mind of mm-hmm. like how that attraction happens of, you know, it's just like, wait. Is this how we feel?
Yeah.
It is how we feel. And then they just kind of go with it.
You definitely see that in Michonne's face. She's this is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was just like applauding again.
I was rejoicing. But at the same time, it was a little sorrowful for me, because that morning.
Oh, yeah. You texted me and you said something terrible has happened. Someone posted something, I think, on Tumblr,
mm-hmm.
and a huge thing is revealed to me, and I am so upset.
Yeah.
And you didn't tell me, because you're a good person and you love me.
I didn't even tell you what show it was from, or
if
it was from a movie or not.
Yeah.
I just told you that something was monumentally spoiled for me.
Oh, because that happens to you way too often.
I try really hard, because like on Twitter, I have mute filters all the time. Like, I have X-Files mute filters, Walking Dead mute filters. Whenever I'm interested in a movie, like, I had Star Wars mute filters for a long time. But on Tumblr, I use the mobile app, and you can't have any filters on the mobile app. And I just wasn't thinking about it. I was just in the habit. And I was on Tumblr, and I scroll, and then all of a sudden, I see Michonne and Rick in an intimate embrace. And at first, I looked at it, and I was like, oh, wait, that's got to be Photoshop, right? And then I realized I'm not caught up, and I scream at work. Thankfully, like,
you screamed.
I did. I screamed out loud. But the thing is,
you're crazy over there.
Well, I mean, I'm the first one in the office. So
oh, okay.
I was fine. But I was just like,
you and your boss.
No!
That's hilarious.
Yeah, me and my boss. Yeah. Sometimes she gets there pretty early. But yeah, I screamed. Hands down, it was the worst spoiler in my entire life.
See, the only thing I have to worry about, because I don't have any social media, is my students. And so if people are talking about a show that I like tell them they better not spoil anything for me. Otherwise, I'm going to take away all their participation points in class.
They think you're joking.
No, I'm not. And I like threaten them. Yeah. Oh, and I got the other day when I was teaching, I actually used an example from The Walking Dead.
How so?
We were talking about Romeo and Juliet, and this moment where, of course, Romeo finds out his best friend Mercutio is dead, and he just goes after Tybalt and kills him. And I talked about how Rick took his axe and go and killed all the zombies after finding out that Carl got shot in the eye. And I was a pretty cool teacher that day.
Awesome.
And I was just really excited that I could use The Walking Dead in class.
So Rick was Romeo and
yeah,
the zombies were Tybalt.
Yes. Yes.
I'm just having this image of Rick.
Well, and I acted it out too.
You acted it out like yeah, what happened in Walking Dead?
Yes, I did. And then I like with my fake sword because I bring in swords. So
yeah, people don't know this, but you have fake swords yeah, at school.
Yeah.
So that they can act
they're
out.
They're like foam.
Yeah, Romeo and Juliet. Yeah, mm-hmm. Foam swords and everything like that.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining Rick now, just like, I would have loved it if he went out there screaming like Romeo did, like, either thou or I yeah, or both must go with him.
That's right. That would be awesome.
That would have been amazing. I kind of want to make that cut now.
All right. Sounds good. You should do that.
So, yeah. So that was spoiled for me.
Yeah.
And it made me sad, but I was happy at the same time. So it was like sad tears.
Right.
Of joy. Tears of joy. Because once it happens, I was like, yes, it happened. It's real. It's mm-hmm, not a dream. It's
yeah. Oh, I hate when they do that to you.
Yeah. Like the character just wakes up like, oh, wow. I must be attracted to that person now. No, it really did happen. Yeah. And so they get busy on the couch, or at least they start on the couch. And like you do. or in a dorm on your futon.
Oh my God.
And then we see them in bed, and we saw more.
A lot of them.
We saw more of Michonne and Rick than I thought I'd ever see.
I was like, I shouldn't be seeing this. This is weird.
I know. We saw a lot of thigh of yeah, Michonne, a lot of back of Rick.
Yeah.
Maybe a little top booty.
Maybe, just a little bit.
Just
I don't
a little
know,
top booty, upper booty.
Go back and replay that.
I did. When you weren't in the room, I went back.
Oh, okay. That yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
And then, you know, like, and then Jesus comes in. Not the real Jesus, but...
Yeah, and then Jesus came from the heavens and...
and shook his finger at
that's
them.
That's right.
Like he does. But no, like the guy named Jesus, or I can't remember his real name or anything like that, because they actually, like Rick and Daryl, bring this guy back. They capture
right,
him, bring him back,
yes,
tie him up.
And he gets out.
And he gets out, and then he's staring at Rick and Michonne as they're buck-ass naked.
And I love how... they both don't even hesitate, and even though they're completely nude, they grab their weapons.
Yeah, Michonne grabs
they're
a sword, he
like
grabs his revolver.
It. Yeah,
boom.
They both are like ready, which is just awesome. It's perfect.
Those are my two favorite characters in the show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. How yes, can they not be?
I mean, Carol is awesome.
Yeah.
And I love Carol.
And we talked about that.
She's
yeah,
one of my favorites, but the Rick and Michonne pairing.
Oh, yeah. And ooh, we just wanted that to happen so much.
I know, so bad. And also, we just saw on online a poster with, it says The Walking Dead, and it has Rick and Michonne, that's just the two of them.
Yeah.
And we have to get that poster.
Oh my gosh, it's going to go in our office.
We have to find yeah, a copy of it.
And it also gives me hope that this is like a thing that will last a while.
I would like that, yeah. I haven't gotten that far in the comics,
because
I
think that
know,
would be really cruel. Put them together like that, where it's it, I mean, this relationship has been, like we talked about, we've been wanting this for years. So this relationship of her being a part of that family has been
yeah,
this ongoing like build up. So for this moment to happen, and if they take it away from us, they better not take away from
they
us.
They better, because writers love to do that.
I know. And they always, you know, it's always this totally unrealistic thing where, oh, now we're just friends again. Yeah, that's not real life.
No. No, and
that doesn't happen.
Even in the zombie apocalypse, that's not
yeah,
real life.
Yeah, that can't be.
There's nowhere for her to go.
Right. She's going to have to, they're going to be together.
They have to be together or something has to happen.
Right.
Which
but
I don't want
I,
that.
They
no,
can't happen.
They can't kill
they can't
Michonne,
do that. No, it's just not okay if they do. We'll all revolt.
But yeah, I mean, overall, like, even though the episode was a little frustrating at times because you're just, like, screaming at the screen, like, just take the truck home. Stop
exploring.
Oh, yeah,
you did that several times. You're like, yeah, just take the truck. Just go home. Don't keep exploring. Just go home.
Just go home and you could have had food.
We would be very safe in the zombie apocalypse. We would be very like, all right, I found my food. Now I'm going to go back to
yeah,
my house and live there.
Yeah. I would go to, what would you do in the zombie apocalypse? Like, I would go to a high rise, right? Wouldn't that make sense?
Kind of like I Am Legend style.
Well, he didn't go to a high rise. He wasn't in a high rise.
Oh, I guess
he
was
just in a house.
Just in a house?
Yeah.
In the city? I don't know.
I would
die
high-rise,
pretty fast, I'm pretty sure.
We would both be yeah, eliminated within the first week.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Our skills do not transfer at all.
No, unless they need a producer. In the apocalypse, or a director.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can teach all the little kids to act.
And I could.
Through their pain.
Film them, even though we don't have any electricity.
Yeah. So our.
See? Yeah.
Yeah.
Skill sets. Zero. Zombie
yeah,
apocalypse.
I could teach them Shakespeare. That's that's really not a useful skill. in zombie apocalypse. So,
well, Billy Shakes is always a good idea.
That's true. You can't go wrong with Billy Shakes. No. Even in the zombie apocalypse.
Even in the...
No, I don't know. I think I would do the whole farm thing.
You would do the farm thing? I feel like that's... I wouldn't be comfortable.
I would go live with our friends who live out in the middle of nowhere.
In Texas? Oh, wait, no.
They live in... Yeah. I would live...
In St. Anne.
Yeah, yeah.
Our St. Anne friends in the middle of nowhere. Even they're getting sick of living in the middle of nowhere.
But it'd be safe.
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't know. I mean, like, yeah, it's like if you're on the plains, you see, you have a lot of open road and open sky, and so you can see people coming. But at the same time, I would be, I don't know, I would feel
isolated,
exposed.
Exposed to it.
I would feel exposed with all that open space.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of places for you to run if you're in a high rise.
That's true. Yeah, like if zombies somehow do make it up the stairs.
Right, then.
You're screwed.
Exactly. So I wouldn't want to put myself in a corner like that.
Well, at the end of Fear the Walking Dead in season one, they find a boat. Is that right? I just confused Fear the Walking Dead.
With the road?
No, not the road. With
we read a lot of
The Last Man on Earth.
Oh my God.
I was just confused.
Tristan.
Wait, no, there was totally a boat in Fear the Walking Dead. Yes, there was. There was. At the very, very end, there was a yacht off in the distance. I promise you.
Okay. I thought you were thinking of The Road by Cormac McCarthy.
Is there a boat at the end of
that? Yeah, there's a boat.
I don't remember that one. Mm-hmm. I remember the boy being picked up at the end on the beach. I don't remember a boat, though.
Yeah, there's a boat.
Okay. Well, obviously you would know. You teach the bloody book.
But... Not anymore. But yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
But yeah, we read a lot of post-apocalyptic fiction.
We do. I like post-apocalyptic.
I do, too. There's a good friend of mine who said that he's like, yeah, zombies just aren't my thing. And I was like... Aren't zombies everybody's thing?
Right? I love it so much.
I guess they're not. But I've been playing the Walking Dead video game. Telltale
games. Yeah, I
like
to watch.
See, that's the sign of a good game.
If I like to watch the video game, that's
if you like to watch the video game, you're engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like the Tomb Raider ones, too. Those
yes, really I've been playing those, too. Yeah. For those of you who like Walking Dead, you need to play the video games, the Walking Dead video game by Telltale, because I tried it. Like, I just played a little bit of it, played like 15, 20 minutes of it. And I was like, oh, this is garbage. This is not fun. But then I got it for free on Xbox Gold, played it a little bit longer. Now I'm hooked. I'm owned by this series. It's so entertaining.
And it's not the same storyline as the show.
No.
It's just, it's completely different, but it's set in the same world, right?
Yeah.
You know, where zombies are attacking and everything.
Like it's that. Even in Georgia, like it's
in
the same space.
It
yeah.
That's
it's
cool.
In Macon, I think, for the most part. Yeah.
Cool.
It's a lot of fun. So everybody should watch it. Play it. Okay. Well, we talked about Walking Dead. So now let's get into Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
So the first season, when it was announced that they were going to make this spinoff, and I've said this before on previous podcasts, on previous shows, that I was the first person to scream, this isn't going to work. This is going to suck. Why would they choose that character? That's not a very interesting character, very one-dimensional. You know, this is horrible. This is bad. They shouldn't do this. And boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, we love season one of Better Call Saul. And I mean, part of it, I think, is too that you can't go wrong with Vince Gilligan as the showrunner, writer.
We used to work on The X-Files.
Right, yeah.
The good ones.
So that's right. The good ones. I mean, we loved Breaking Bad so much that it'd be hard for us not to like Better Call Saul.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very different show, too. It's a little bit of a slower show. You know, it's about a lawyer. It's not about a meth kingpin. It's just not the same beast. I like the character of, Jim McGill, or James McGill, who is later going to be Saul Goodman a lot more after watching Better Call Saul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It gives you a deeper appreciation of Breaking Bad.
And I also like the side characters too. I think that they're great, and I think it's a good ensemble, and I love that Mike is back. And
Mike is... They spend a lot of time with
Mike.
They
did, especially first season.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even now. I mean, it's like he's the side plot, and it's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's something so unique about going backwards and knowing where these characters are going to end up, and even knowing how certain characters are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just interesting that you're like, okay, well, we know this doesn't work out for him. We know that this is not the path that he's going to take, but how is he going to get there?
Right.
We're along for the ride, which is a lot of fun.
And that's really, really fun to think of it that way. We're along for the ride. It's about the journey. You know, maybe it's not the, like, you know, there's that old Star Trek quote. And the reason why, you know, my show is called To the Journey, it's maybe maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And this is definitely one of those times because, you know, a lot of, like, I remember I was talking with a friend of mine a long time ago, like before Revenge of the Sith came out. And I said, I was like, are you excited about Revenge of the Sith? And he's like, yeah, I guess. I was like, how could you not be? So he's like, well, I know how it ends. We all know how it ends. And I was like, what does that matter?
You want to see how it does.
And you want to see how it happens.
How did it get there?
How we get there. Yeah. That's interesting. That's fun.
Yeah. And I love them showing the character development of how when he's in his element and kind of getting closer to what he becomes as Saul Goodman, you know, that persona. I love those moments. And we saw some of that in this episode that we just watched, Cobbler. Yeah, which is awkward to say.
Now that you know the meaning.
Yeah, exactly.
So in season one, we see this, you know, like he's a two-bit lawyer. He can't pay his bills and he's in a crappy office and he has a good friend who's also a lawyer who's at a good law firm. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of at odds with that law firm, and he has a brother who has special needs, as in, like, he's a germaphobe and an electrophobe, and he, like, can't go out in public, and so he takes care of him. But then he finds out that his brother has been holding him back for years in excelling because he doesn't think that he's a real lawyer because he got his education, like, the Caribbean or something like right. that. And so that provides a rift between the brothers. And then all of a sudden, Jimmy starts to excel and he gets this job offer.
And all he wants to do is make his brother proud.
Yeah.
The entire time. Like, that dynamic is very interesting to watch.
But at the same time, that's kind of a double-edged sword where he wants to make his brother proud. But when he's pissed at his brother, that's when he acts out and starts going back to slipping Jimmy, you know, like
right.
The guy crime. Who, you know, the crime Jimmy, the guy who scams and schemes and everything like that.
Yeah. It's very cool to see the backstory of how he's going to become what he is.
All right. So let's talk about season two. So, you know, we gave a brief overview of season two. At the very, very end of season one, he gets a huge job offer at an amazing law firm. He turns it down. And then he goes to Mike and he says, we had, this was a previous storyline, we had tons of money of unmarked bills. Why do we give it back? Mike said, well, you paid me to do a job. That's why I did it. Why do you think you did it? Because it was the right thing to do. He's like, well, this is the last time I do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And then he drives off and we're like, oh man, why'd you do that? Like, I even asked the question. I was like, why would he turn that down? And you said, because how else is he going to become Saul Goodman?
Right.
And, but then.
He can't have lots of money to be Saul Goodman.
Right.
He has to earn it in a
not back alley way.
Back alley way, like a slipping Jimmy way. Yeah.
But then at the beginning of season two, he goes back on that and accepts the job.
Yeah, and it's that weird. That was a little strange in that first episode where he's just kind of like lounging by the pool. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's pretending to be someone else, you know, have privileges to be at the country club or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Okay. I did not like at first he slept with his friend Kim.
I didn't like that either.
I kind of liked that dynamic in season one where they were just friends helping each other out. I mean, there was a little bit of tension, like sexual tension there. Mm-hmm. You could tell that he liked her and, you know, she might have considered him. But sometimes I just wish that TV would leave relationships alone.
That a man and a woman can just be friends.
Yeah, they can just be friends. Although I am really glad that Michonne and Rick are together. We were just talking about that. So I'm totally being a hypocrite. And I admit it. And I guess it's whatever couples I want to get together.
Whatever couples we want.
Exactly. That's okay. No. But I don't know. I just kind of liked the fact that there wasn't any, you know, moments of are they or won't they in the first season. There wasn't a lot of that.
Not a lot of that. There was one moment when he was like painting her toes.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Where I was like,
Yeah. I do remember that moment, actually. Yeah. So they get together.
They get together.
And I guess I kind of liked it more in this episode, especially when like she moves his papers to her next to her chair.
Yeah.
And then like all she did was just like put her foot next to his. And I just thought that was really cute. And
yeah.
I don't know. I just liked that dynamic of them working together. Maybe it's because I want to work with you so bad.
Maybe that could be one reason. Yeah. But like it's nice because I thought they were going to go with a whole trope of we're friends, we slept together, let's try to pretend this never happened, or she was ashamed of it. But no, she's going right into it.
Oh yeah.
Like she's accepting it. She wants it. She genuinely likes Jimmy.
Yeah.
And like even now that he's excelling as a lawyer, he's got some money now, and he was talking about getting a new place.
Yeah.
She started using we and us.
I love the horse conversation. That's such a girl thing. Like, can I have horses?
Yeah, it was like, I'm going to get a lot of acreage. She's like, you got to get horses.
Yeah, it's worth
like,
it.
He's like, yeah, I love that. He's like, I don't know. You got to spend a lot of money on oats or something.
I love that. Yeah.
And then immediately she's like, worth it. Worth it.
Because every girl, one point in their lives, wants a horse. I love that.
I've never had that urge. I've never
that
been.
Is such a girl thing. That is something that is just ingrained in you at like a very young age that you want a horse, you want a pony. And then it goes away. Like, I don't have any desire for a horse right now.
No?
No, I don't.
I think that's
don't
mainly
because
you don't want to clean up after a horse.
That's true. But I really would have no need for a horse. But, yeah. No, it's just something that a girl just wants.
But I was the exact same way. Like, I didn't want them to get together because I like that friendship dynamic, but then they made it adorable.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, it does. I like it, but I know it's not going to last.
No, it can't.
It can't because she's not a part of Breaking Bad. And at the end of the episode, when he falsified evidence to get his client off, she realized, I think that was like a warning sign to her.
That was a big red flag.
Yeah, it was like, she is straightforward. She is truthful. And she does know about his past, but she thought he's turning over a new leaf. But, I mean, that was probably the best part of the whole episode was when he's in his element and he's getting the guy off and coming up with a story because that's...
Lying through his teeth.
That's who Saul is.
That's yeah. There's Jimmy
yeah.
and then there's Saul.
Right.
And right now he's walking back and forth.
Exactly. I loved seeing that because you're like, oh, there's Saul.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you saw her eyes, you're just like, oh, that's not gonna be good.
That's not gonna fly. Yeah.
Right.
And I like that she called him on it.
Yeah.
That she didn't just go along with it.
Yeah, because I was thinking about that actually when we watched it was, you know, in many shows, it's just like, oh, you silly.
Yeah.
You just falsified evidence. No. She calls him on it, says, is it really worth being disbarred? Is it really worth, you know, all these things that could go wrong and you mm-hmm. have it so good right now,
right.
You're going to screw this up.
And she said something that I loved to hear when she said it. It was, I don't want to hear about this again.
Yeah. Yeah.
It, like she didn't say, I don't want you to ever do it again. She didn't tell him what to do.
Yeah.
Which guys hate.
Right.
Like if you ever want to get a guy to do something, tell him not to do it.
Right, exactly.
And at least that's how it works in our relationship. I shouldn't say all guys.
It's true.
But it's yeah, and she didn't say don't do it again. She said I can't know about this. And he's like, all right, you won't. And that was the end of the episode. I need to trust Vince Gilligan.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
I mean, I think it'll be a ride. I think it'll be an interesting trip to see where that goes and how it probably is going to go terribly, terribly wrong eventually. And I mean, even like you even said, when he gets the new car and he's got the cup.
The cup that she gave him. It said second best lawyer.
And it won't fit in the cup holder.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, metaphor. And I'm like, well, it's true. I mean, and let's be honest, I don't know. I don't really. It's boring watching him be
a good lawyer.
A good lawyer. Yeah, it's one of those things where you want to see him, you know, getting guys off for falsifying it. You want to see him being Saul. You want to see him with Badger. You know,
With Badger.
You want to see that.
All right. So I'm calling it on Nerd Nuptial episode 3. That this is what I think the end of Better Call Saul will be. And I know that I'm not going to be the first person to make this prediction, but I'm making it.
Okay.
That, or at least what I want to happen at the end of Better Call Saul is I want the last episode to be us hearing Walter White's voice. I want, like, you know, Saul's in his office, you know, like it's in that strip mall that we saw in Breaking Bad. And all of a sudden this man comes in with a baseball cap and glasses and sunglasses, And
when he's pretending to be Badger's uncle.
When he's pretending to be Badger's uncle. I can't remember what the first words out of his mouth were, but I want to hear those words. I don't even necessarily need to see Walter's face. I just want to hear that. And then boom, credits, end of show.
Yeah.
That's just what I want to happen.
We pick up where we left off type of deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they have to also bring it back to the Cinnabon in some way. They have to have some type of closure there.
Oh, yeah. I wonder what they're going to do with that.
Yeah. I'm interested because they keep showing, you know, the black and white depressed. He's in the Cinnabon
working. He's in an illegal witness protection.
Yeah. And he's just, his life is terrible. Like, look where he's come.
Yeah.
He's fallen.
Hard and far.
And far. And now he is managing a Cinnabon. And I mean, that's the great thing about Breaking Bad is that there are consequences to your actions. And even though it was a wild, crazy ride and Walter got a lot of money along the way, there were consequences and it ended up killing him.
And also consequences for the people
his family's gone and, you know, like not living in good situations and his son hates him. And, you know, there are consequences to your actions, and I always appreciated that about Breaking Bad.
That's something that I've always known about Breaking Bad, but I never really thought about. Like, it's something that's in the back of your mind where there is always consequences. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm glad that you pointed it out because it's true. I mean, I think a lot of people don't the people who don't like Breaking Bad say that they don't like some of the content where they're like, I don't want to see bad people do bad things. I'm like, well, I mean, I'm kind of the same way, but there are consequences to his actions. I mean, if we showed a world where if you do bad things, good things will happen, then I'd be like, okay, that's altered reality.
But it's not that black and white, too.
No.
It's very much so, like, not that I could imagine myself necessarily going to those extremes, but you could see how one thing leads to another, and it's a domino effect of where they came and where they're going. You know, it's like, you know, one crime leads to another for survival or for, you know, then
pleasure.
For pleasure, for power, whatever that ends up overtaking them. It's not like it just happens overnight that, oh, they're the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he had cancer. You know, Walter had cancer.
The best character arc I have ever seen
so much
in a television show or in a movie.
That's another show. I'm very much a creature of habit, and that's another TV show that you're like, you need to calm down. I won't watch that with you over and over again.
You make it sound like I don't like rewatching Breaking Bad, but the thing is, like, people need to understand you could like the things that you like, you could rewatch every other day
and over again. Yeah.
And every once in a while, I like to watch new things.
I know. I was the same way as a kid, though. Like, I watched The Princess Bride pretty much every time we went to Blockbuster. So.
Well, who didn't watch The Princess Bride over and
yeah,
over?
Yeah, but my parents had to, like, tell me, no, you cannot rent that movie anymore. So that's just who I am.
We had Princess Bride taped off of TV.
Yeah.
And we, you know, like when you could actually tape things on tape and everything like that. And there was one time, like for some reason, the tape stopped in one moment. And my dad had to start it back up again. But it took a little bit. And for the longest time, for years, I had no idea what happened in those missing seconds.
Oh, that's funny.
And then when DVD came out, we actually bought the movie. Like, we didn't even buy it on VHS. We're like, why would we buy it on VHS? We have it taped off a DVD. And then once we got it on DVD, I was like, oh my God, so that's what happens.
That's hilarious.
So Fezzik just hits the eel on the head and then grabs Robin right out. That's how she got back on the boat. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
A part of it was missing for you.
Yeah, it was. I had no idea how she got back out of the ocean.
That's so
funny. Into the boat.
Yeah. No, I love Breaking Bad. I could watch it all the time. The character arc's amazing. And I feel like they're going to do a good job with Saul, too.
Yeah. Like I said, I trust Vince Gilligan.
Yeah.
Also, to go back just a little bit about what you're talking about consequences, it kind of reminded me of a conversation that we had at the end of the Mad Men series finale.
Oh, yeah.
Which was another fantastic series finale.
Definitely paid off.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. There's a moment, if you haven't seen it, what's wrong with you? Watch it. But Pete Campbell, the character Pete Campbell, huge jackass for the entire show.
You just like love to hate him type of deal.
Even then, I'm just like, no.
He's just a jerk.
He's just a jerk. Like, there's times when I'm like, you could just go away and I'd be fine. But he plays it well. The actor does it
great. Yeah, he does.
And he is a horrible human being, cheats on his wife constantly, lies about it, lies in the office, has no ethics. And at the very end of the show, he gets everything he could ever want. He gets his wife back. He gets his daughter back. He gets his dream job.
They're getting on a jet.
They're getting on a private jet that he has unlimited access to.
Yeah.
And that's the end of his story.
He has it all.
And I was so angry. I was so upset. I said, I was like, how can they do this? He is a bad person.
See, I thought that's pretty cool because you don't always see that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that I'm kind of going back on what I'm talking about with Breaking Bad about how I like how there's consequences to their actions. But there are those people out there in this world that get everything they want and they don't, I mean.
And they're horrible people.
They're horrible people and they just get what they want.
And that's why I brought it up, because you said that to me seconds after I started complaining. You said, these people exist.
Yeah. We actually like had that moment when we were watching the episode and like, hey, you know what? There's going to be consequences for a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, whether they're good or bad, but his path, he has it all.
He has it all.
Now, not that there wasn't struggles along the way,
yeah,
but he has it all at the end. That's just his path.
So frustrating. Yeah,
but I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you didn't like that?
I didn't like it, but then what you said made a lot of sense and gave it some depth. And so I was like, okay, all right, fine. I was like, begrudgingly.
Because we all know those people.
We all know those people. We all read about those people.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those people are running for president. You know, it's just ridiculous. I'm sorry. It was too easy.
I was going to say.
You know, you lob it over the plate. You know, I'm gonna swing at it. But yeah, yeah. So Better Call Saul season 2 started off really slow, really understated, but good character development. Good things are happening.
Yeah, and I also am interested to see where that brother dynamic goes, where, you know, like his brother comes into the office, which is a struggle for him to come into the office, but just to, and I, you know, you're kind of questioning, is he jealous? You can see that in his eyes that he's kind of got this jealous, like, I'm the best lawyer, you're following in my footsteps, so I don't want you to type of deal going on. But could that possibly transform into pride? We just don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to see how it plays out. I'm wondering how long this can play out because,
yeah,
I mean, here, from a logistical standpoint, these people are only getting older, especially Mike.
Especially Mike.
You know, like, and there's going to be a time, like, I'm willing to forgive that. I am not one of those jerks who's like, you're like, oh, but they aged and it's a prequel. How does it work? Well, come on. You know, it's just it's reality.
It's fine. Yeah.
You know, like, it's the reality of make-believe.
Right, you forgive it because you want to see those characters.
Right. Right. It's kind of like the character Q in Star Trek. When he was introduced, he says, he's like, I'm ageless, but he played that character for like 12 years.
He's going to age.
And then, like, I remember I saw somebody like putting a side by side comparison. They're like, this is BS. And I was like, what did you expect to happen?
It's the same actor.
It's not real life. You know, it's
the
a
poor
human
guy.
Yeah.
Like, issues with his self-esteem. Hey, I'm sorry I aged. It was 12 years.
I'm sorry I aged. I love that in Futurama, too. Like, when Fry was trying to prove that he was human. He's like, no, I'm human. I aged. Look. Yeah, I wonder how that's gonna work, because like if this show goes on for another 3 years, I mean some of these actors, I mean, could age a lot in those 3 years.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, you know,
they're
not young men.
Right.
And I mean, our bodies change drastically. What do they say? Like every 7 years, like we completely recycle ourselves. And so, you know, our bodies change, our bodies morph, our face changes. It's just the nature of getting older. It's not bad or good.
Right.
So I don't know. It might, I'm hoping it doesn't get to the point where we're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like unreal, not realistic at all. I did like the reference to Tuco.
Yes. Well, we saw him in the first season.
Yeah. But I liked how they are drawing back those references. Yeah. I like that.
Do you know what I cannot wait to see in Better Call Saul?
What?
Gus Fring.
Yeah. Because we have to, right? Because of Mike.
Because of Mike.
Because they...
Mike hooks
they
up
They better do that.
They have to.
They have to, right?
They have to. He was...
Yeah, I want to see kind of like more of the start of Gus Fring and more information about Gus Fring. Because that was also always fascinating.
That's the thing, is that when we first started learning that the show was going to be about Jimmy, I was like, eh. But then when it said Mike was going to be a part of it, I was like, oh, okay. You know, we could use Mike as an anchor. You like get that backstory because he's such an interesting character. Yeah. Gus Fring is one of the greatest villains of all time in television.
Oh, yeah.
And he is just so suave and calculated and smart and just epic.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't want to learn so much about him that it ruins the character. But at the same time, I want to see more of him.
Right. I also kind of think that if enough time has passed, I'm okay with learning a little bit more. As long as they do it justice. You know, I'd be okay with learning some of those things that we don't necessarily know. Because I always loved the backstory episodes of Gus Fring, you know, like with him.
And, yeah, yeah.
You know, the Pollos Hermanos storyline of, you know, him and his partner.
Yeah, which we assume is his partner.
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of a safe assumption that it was his...
Yeah, I think so.
His partner, his lover, whomever. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd love to see more of that relationship.
Yeah.
Because that was really interesting. I think that just, it added depth to the character.
It did.
It was like, oh, he's not just a business partner.
Right.
Like, and he just cares witnessed about him. His lover die well, in front of him.
Then it makes sense for the revenge to happen.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. See, now I want to watch Breaking Bad.
In the last episode, we want to watch Gilmore Girls, and now
we just don't have enough time in the day.
We don't.
People should just pay us to watch TV.
That would be awesome. So if you guys want to donate to the Pay the Riddells to Watch TV fund, you can go to thenerdparty.com. I'll set up a button as soon as this podcast is over.
And we'll be at 3,000 pounds.
I was going to say.
We'll just eat bonbons and... lay in bed and watch movies.
Watch Netflix. Eat bonbons and watch Netflix.
That's, right. That's kind of the dream right there.
And die in 5 years of a heart attack.
That's the dream. But what a way to go.
What a way to go. Oh, dying fat and happy. Well, thank you so much for listening. Please remember to subscribe. We are everywhere. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Sprecher. Soon we'll be on Google Play. Soon we'll be on Spotify once they actually open that stuff up to podcasts. But we're pretty much everywhere. Like even
those
if,
words I didn't recognize.
You don't like those? I'm just speaking gibberish.
Yeah,
now.
I don't even know what those words are. I don't even know.
Just know that we are everywhere,
okay,
girl.
Okay, we're everywhere.
If you don't use iTunes, if you use Downcast or Overcast, just search Nerd Nuptial and we'll pop up. And as always, please, if you like our show, write us a review. It only takes 30 seconds. You can do it from your phone. Please, the more reviews you write, the higher we get on lists on iTunes. So please, if you could, just take a little time. It really helps us out. You know, make sure to check out our other shows. We have 3 shows on this new network that's called The Nerd Party. You can check out The Senate Floor with Matt Hansen, which I co-host, which is a general geek podcast. You can also check out Aggressive Negotiations, a Star Wars podcast, where they discuss topics that you've always wanted to hear discussed about Star Wars. And it's a great show hosted by great people all around. And I'm just so proud that now you, the girl, are a part of that network.
Well, thank you.
And I think the internet is happy too.
I will believe you.
All right. Well, again, thank you, listeners. And I love you.
I know.